The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning to We the People, kind of.
Sort of. We're working on it.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah, we've, like Bob said, a bloodless coup has occurred.
There you go.
My name is Mark Kenton, and I'm here with my sister, Linda.
Good morning, My name's Linda.
There you go, Linda. And Bob Martin is here, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great guy, and he's here to introduce us, because we are on We the People, and, you know, we've taken over. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's how we roll.
Sounds like an April Fool's gag several days late. Well, actually, Aaron, Ryan, and Bill Cundiff are off this morning. Mark and I were just talking about this. I believe this is the first time we have ever had complete live guest hosts for We the People, because usually, and Elizabeth Woodward hosted with Aaron for a long time, usually either one or the other of them were here, or we did a previously recorded show, but today we have none of the above. We have our Sovereign Minds hosts essentially joining us 2 hours early today, so welcome Mark and Linda.
I like to think of it as complete control.
Never know what we might do from here on out.
Anyway, we're here. Today is April 13th, 2014, and we've got some good guests on today. I believe we're going to have three guests today: Lowell Ponte, Terrence Moore, and Orly Tates. Tates, I guess, is how you pronounce it.
Tates, I believe.
Tates. And so we're streaming worldwide. This is KCNR1460.com. You can call in if you have a question or a comment to 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me, and I highly suggest that you do if you actually want to get some news, because it doesn't seem like you get anything out of the mainstream anymore, just little blurps and snippets and smidgens.
Just a little bit.
Smidgens.
Smidgens?
Yeah. Yeah, so I highly, suggest that you friend me at Mark E. Kent, and that way you can get the news that is the news instead of the no news that's not any news in, with our news organizations.
That's not true.
No?
They talk about some things just over and over again, not the real important things.
I don't know how many times you can talk about ditching a plane in the ocean. I mean, we've been on a plane, ditching a plane for a month. I guess a standoff in Nevada where, you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 protesters, Tea Party, Oath Keepers, and militia stand off against the BLM over a cattle ranch rights to water and grazing. And you see a little 10-second blurb on the news. The government is right. They've won all the court cases, and the little guy's wrong, and we need to take over his land and kill all his cattle. You know what I mean? So I guess that's not news, and I didn't see anything in the paper.
Yeah, it wasn't important that they actually withdrew
from
it.
Yeah, exactly. There was a standoff, and the BLM backed down. Yeah. Evidently, the sheriff came in from the county, and I heard he even had armed vehicles and said, hey, you guys need to leave. But I guess that's not news.
No.
Maybe we should just, listen to the girl from Epony, like we're in the elevator. Dun, 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 dun.
No, but we do have a good guest on right now on the phone. We have Terrence Moore, who wrote the book, The Story, Killers.
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 What's the story?
It's about the Common Core.
Oh, Common. I was going to look into this, but I didn't have time. A common sense case against Common Core. Are you with us there, Terry?
Terrence Moore, yes. How are you?
Okay, Terrence. Sorry, I didn't mean to be presumptuous there. Good. How you doing? I did a little research on you. You are a professor at Hillsdale College?
That's correct.
And maybe give us a little background, Terrence, about yourself. And I also see that you have a doctorate.
That's correct. I have a PhD in history. I'm a former Marine. I run a school in Colorado that was one of the top schools there. It was a classical charter school. And right now I'm at Hillsdale College on the history faculty. and I'm also helping set up schools around the country as a part of our charter school initiative. And we have currently 4 schools in operation and 4 that are going to start this coming year, all using a classical curriculum.
Well, I guess that completely debunks the thing that about Marines not being very smart, because it seems like you've got some credentials here. I see the University of Edinburgh. Edinburgh, is that the university in Scotland?
That's correct. Edinburgh is in Scotland.
Wow, interesting.
Most of the Marines I knew were pretty smart.
That's what I hear, too. But, you know, the mainstream media seems to, have this perception, especially lately, of the military on all accounts that they're not very sharp. And like I say, I think, you debunk that myth completely looking at your credentials. But let's talk about what you want to talk about here with Common Core. We're very interested in this. I'm curious, I have a grandson in grade school right now, and they started the Common Core, and I don't know, what to even think about it, because you hear, these horror stories, and, I'm just absolutely paranoid of leaving him in school, in fact, but maybe you can help us understand it better.
Well, the Common Core is I would say that it's a curriculum, but supposedly it's a set of standards that were adopted by 45 states in the country in 2010 with almost no public discussion whatsoever. And what prompted that adoption was a lot of race to the top money that was given to state governments at a time that they were running low on cash. And the standards themselves prescribe a set of teaching practices and a set of ways of going about things, and I think it's actually a curriculum that they're trying to sneak in, or at least solidify in the schools. Some of it's already been there for a long time. And it really is, if you look at it over the long haul, the knockout blow for progressive education that has been gradually increasing in this country over the last half century.
Now, that would be like a dumbing down then. I mean, isn't that what we were talking about here? And we say progressive. I mean, isn't this just out-and-out communism at the end of the day?
Well, it is a dumbing down, although, of course, the rhetoric is all about critical thinking skills and college and career readiness and raising the bar and so on, because they're not just going to come out and tell you that they're making math almost impossible to do for children, nor that they're sneaking stories in there that have a left-leaning political bent. So you can call it communism if you want to. The history is out of progressive education, whose godfather is John Dewey. And many of the things that are essentially programmed into this curriculum are following in this pattern. But in some ways, they're actually worse. I can think of 2 ways in which they're worse. One is that the real purpose nowadays behind a lot of schools, and this is why I think Gates money is so involved in this, is to haul kids behind computers for about 5 or 7 hours of the day and essentially program them as though they were computers using these new fads.
Wow.
The other thing that is pretty awful about it is, in the case of English, which is what my book is about and what I've studied, is that they really are taking great stories away from children and replacing them with what they call informational texts. And that really is the novel thing, the really new thing that's a part of the English standards. And they're upfront about it. They describe it in a different way, but what they basically say is, we're going to take literature out of the literature classroom and we're going to replace it with informational texts. And these are either just unchallenging, boring, 2 to 3 minute texts that you can read very quickly, that have really nothing of value to offer, or in some cases they're just straight outright political propaganda that have been imported into the classroom under the guise of information.
So that sounds exactly the opposite of critical thinking. I mean, critical thinking is problem solving, from my understanding of what they should have been teaching all along, is the fact that, how to analyze things for yourself and figure out, what the truth of the matter is. Am I off base there?
No, but see, they don't want critical thinking, and above all, they don't want students following great, ennobling stories that tell people about the human condition. This is the way schools have always taught children how to be more human, how to understand the English language, and how to read well, and that is by following great stories that are written by the master storytellers in beautiful language. But if you replace that with, for example, an article written in the 2009 New Yorker called The Cost Conundrum, Healthcare Healthcare Costs in McAllen, Texas, written by Atul Gawande. If you replace Shakespeare with something like that, then, of course, that's the way that you sneak in an article about Obamacare in order to make students dwell on things that really don't belong in an English class.
So they're taking the classics out, is what you're saying. I mean, like Treasure Island and things where, you know, they show the, or, you know, whether it's the one I'm thinking of, Tale of Two Cities with by Dickens. I mean, you know, it shows, like you say, the best of times, the best in men, the worst in men as teaching tools so that they understand that the human condition can aspire to greatness. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah, they're depriving children of the classics and replacing it with a bunch of modern schlock, which essentially can be anything they want it to be. They go about this in a certain way that's really deceptive. One of the things is they put a lot of emphasis on complex texts. And they say that students should read complex texts as though we didn't know that. But when you ask them, well, what's a complex text? Then they give you this thing called the Lexile Index, which is essentially a computer model whose purpose is to rate texts about how complex they are. Well, this thing is woefully inaccurate. So if you take The Grapes of Wrath by Steinbeck, for example, what grade do you think that would be rated at by anybody with any sense?
Well, what grade it should be read at? I don't know.
Exactly.
I think I read The Grapes of Wrath when I was about 13, 14, I think.
I would say sixth grade.
So upper middle school, high school.
Yeah.
According to the Lexile framework, it's a second to third grade reading text.
Well, you can't get that. I mean, a second grader's not going to get half of what's coming out of The Grapes of Wrath. I mean,
No, and see, that's the thing. They're not going to assign it to a second or third grader. But what they're going to do is they're going to devalue that literature by saying it's not very complex. And it's because The Grapes of Wrath uses very simple language. You know, it's not language that is unfamiliar to anyone.
But it's
Whereas
a very complex
with these modern
story.
Journal articles, they can say these are really complex texts. And so, therefore, they can justify putting all this stuff in a high school curriculum and getting rid of great literature.
Okay, with that, we need to go to a break, unfortunately, and when we come back, we'll pick that up with you, Terrence, on that. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon.
I was going to say Sovereign Mind Radio, but I think we're actually...
we're the people at the moment.
We're the people. Old habits die hard.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do today there, guy? We're going to take over the world again. We're talking with Terrence Moore from Hillsdale College, and we're talking about Common Core. And where were we at here? We were just talking about the cost conundrum and...
How they're changing the text of things that they're giving to our children to read.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you, Terrence, they do this also in the computer. What I mean by that is in introducing the computers into the classroom, then they have total control over, and the parents aren't able to view and know exactly what's going on. Is that correct?
That is correct, because what's going on right now is you have, I wouldn't call them traditional textbooks, but you do have a lot of textbooks, and the textbook companies are the one who take these standards and then essentially do a lot of mischief with them by putting the text in that they want to, which are in fact essentially called for in the Common Core itself. And I can tell you about some of the things I found in these texts, and it's really outrageous. But the ultimate game is to go away from books, I think, and to put everything on the computer and to have more or less a video classroom, which will turn teachers into glorified computer monitors, and it will mean that essentially everything will be centrally controlled by those who decide what our children need to learn.
Wow.
So the myth of local control is you know, completely done away with.
Do you think the teachers are aware of what's happening?
They're starting to become aware. It's more obvious in math in some ways because the convoluted ways that they want students to do math are just palpable and people are noticing that. But it's also starting to dawn on people that the English things that students are learning in English are not English at all. And parents are starting to get the sense of that and realizing that they really have to fight for these great stories to be part of their children's lives again. But let me give you an example of the sort of nonsense that you would find in a textbook. And this is by Prentice Hall, Pearson Prentice Hall. They're the biggest textbook company in the U.S. And they never tell you a complete story, of course, in these textbooks. So you'll get a chapter of this or a chapter of that. But sometimes they don't even deal with books themselves. So for 20 pages in which students are supposedly reading about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which would be a good thing for them to read, not one single page of it in the textbook has anything out of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Instead, you have modern authors talking about ghost stories. You have a picture of Frankenstein's monster. And for 5.5 pages, you have a script taken from Saturday Night Live. It was a spoof on Frankenstein.
Wow.
So that's what you have in place of the real Frankenstein. But it gets worse, because here's the dialogue that's included in the script. Frankenstein's monster shows up to a village, and one villager says to another, "Well, maybe you're the monster." The head villager shakes his head and says, "I'm not the monster." Then he points to Frankenstein's monster and says, "Look at him. He's got a square head and green skin." Frankenstein's monster says, "Oh, great. Now it's a racial thing."
Holy.
You know what?
Wow.
You guys are a bunch of fascists. In the margin of the teacher's edition, so this is telling the teachers what they're supposed to say, these words are written. Point out the use of the term fascist. Explain its traditional political meaning and how it has been extended to refer to any right-wing extremist group.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I can't, you know, I can't, I'm
kind of lost for words.
Speechless here,
like,
because
that.
I mean, I read one thing where it said there was a multiple choice questionnaire where it said, you know, is the government always right type thing, and that was one of the choices. But I mean, nothing quite as blatant as what you're telling me. You know, I mean, that is that prevalent through the whole course?
Yes. What I just gave you, of course, was taken from a textbook that would be read in the second semester of the senior year in high school.
Wow.
So this is not going to make students college ready. They wouldn't know anything about Frankenstein. What they would know is that if you really want to talk about right-wing extremists, you call them fascists. And, of course, we're right-wing extremists. Well, anybody that Common Core in the textbooks don't like.
Well, and fascism has nothing to do with right-wing extremists. Fascism is a marriage between the corporations and the government that basically run the economy. I mean,
sure, but they're loading in these things, which is why, you know, they give that great author George Clooney a place in the textbooks for his screenplay on the movie on Edward R. Murrow, which of course is blasting McCarthyism.
Right.
So you load that kind of bias into the textbooks, and I've found things that are just astonishing, dealing with Reagan, dealing with World War II, and it's not even close to being nonpartisan.
Yeah, I mean, that's just unbelievable. So you know, they give them a complete slant, and it's just like 1984, like right out of, you know, Orwell. I mean, changing the definition of the words so that they mean completely different things than they originally were, you know, intended to mean. And so you can change the complete language of what, and the meanings completely change, and now you got control of their minds, basically. Is that, I mean, am I going way too far with that?
Yeah, no, here's why this is important. And this is why they're taking the literature out of the literature classrooms. Plato told us over 2,000 years ago, whoever controls the stories controls the society. if you control the narrative of how people see human beings and how they see politics and how they see their country's history, if you control that, you control the minds of the citizens. And that's exactly what they're doing. And this isn't just one random textbook. This is an industry following exactly what the Common Core is setting up for them to do.
Wow, unbelievable. Maybe we can talk about solutions, yeah. Or, you know, what should we do? What should the parents do? Just pull their kids out of school? I mean, you know, we've got to go to a break here, so I don't want to go too far into it. But, you know, I'm just amazed here. And who's behind all this? I mean, where did Common Core come from? I mean, that's another question that I have here. So
maybe we should go to a break, and then we can pick that up on the other side and get our answers and move forward with it. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
When I get older, I need my health care many years from now. I know I won't be covered by Obamacare. Get a hip replacement pacemaker. If I protest it at a town hall, he'll just lock the door. Obama don't need me, Obama won't feed me when I'm 64.
Should have been a DJ, Bob. I mean, I love this kind of music. We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, We the People. You know, this is a takeover, bloodless coup, like we said. We're going on after the world here. We want to take over the world. Anyway.
We at least want to take back our country and our education and our children, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's like I keep telling people, hey, you know, what's more important, baseball, Sunday picnics, or your freedom? Maybe we ought to get involved here. So we're back here with Terrence Moore from Hillsdale College, and I hope I didn't offend you with the Marine crack, Terrence. I'm actually Army, so I could have probably said something about Army guys too. But
we know about you guys. So.
But we appreciate your service to our country. That's for sure.
Anyway, we really do. We thank you a lot for everything you're doing here. Who wrote Common Core? Before we talk about suggestions, I don't know how much time we have with you, Terrence. So I'm kind of, you know, trying to get everything in that we possibly can to get out to the listeners here. But can you tell us who Common Core was written by, or where it comes from, or how did this get into our curriculum?
Well, this is something that progressives in general have been aiming at for a long time. We saw it back in the 90s with Clinton, where he tried goals through 2000, which was defeated because of a popular uprising. But the most immediate incarnation of it, the leading figure behind it, other than Bill Gates, who's put probably $200 million behind it, is a fellow whose name is David Coleman, who's now the president of the College Board, which, by the way, controls the SAT and all the AP tests. And all of those are being rewritten, dumbed down, to be aligned with the Common Core. So that's a fairly frightening thing. The second question you asked before the break was, well, what can we do? And that's a big question, but I think there's two or three things we have to do. The first is, most immediately, we have to defeat the Common Core, because although there are parts of it that aren't entirely new, it is nonetheless the biggest, most egregious manifestation of these ideas that have been around for a long time. And that has to be done at the state level, and every state has some kind of resistance against it to stop Common Core movement. It's stronger in some states than in others. But it is strong out in the West, and there are some folks in California who are trying to beat this. And I'm in Indiana, where we're at the middle of the fight. We're the first state that had the pause, and the states are supposedly we're out of the Common Core, but the forces within Indiana are rewriting them and simply rebranding them, so there's a fight over that. But ultimately, I think the parents who are just enraged over this issue will have strength enough, especially coming into an election season, to show people that we really care about this. Ultimately, it has to be political. It has to, until legislators are afraid of their jobs and state school board members, it won't get repealed. So this has to become political.
So do you think it would help to get at the local level started, maybe get on some school boards and, you know, start putting pressure on everybody to get rid of this stuff? Because I just talked to a teacher on Friday, and she's about ready to start her own school or something, and I'm ready to pull my grandson out, quite frankly, if we can get it going. I mean, that's how concerned we are.
Right. Well, yes, I think I know a lot of folks who are trying to fight this on the individual school board level, and that's important because they need to feel the heat too. But it's also a state issue, so both of these should be done. The second approach is exactly what you're doing and what this teacher is describing. I think if this doesn't manifest itself into a discussion of what kind of education ought we to have, if it's not the Common Core, and if what we had before was not very good either, then that becomes a national discussion about what a good education actually looks like. And that'll actually cause us, I think, to go back to the sound principles of education. And to be able to do that, of course, we have to have school choice, because districts themselves are not just going to up and say, oh, yeah, we've been teaching reading wrong for the last 40 years, so let's now adopt the real way to teach reading. So there's going to have to be pressure, and school choice at the moment is the best form of pressure, and that can come in a variety of ways, homeschooling, good, solid charter schools, laws that are favorable towards startups of new private schools, and a host of other things.
Well, you know, you mentioned charter schools, and that's where my grandson is. And, you know, their biggest thing, their criteria is about is math and science. And but I have no way of really checking on what they're doing. And they are pushing him towards the computer. Yep. Seems like he's on the computer 24/7. And so how do I know if these guys are actually doing, you know, him a favor or turning him into a robot?
Well, here's what you have to understand about charter schools, and this is the confusing part of it. A charter school is simply a school of choice that is created by a group of local founders, or in some cases, larger management companies that have a national or statewide reach. No charter school is necessarily the same as any other school. You could have, if you want it, an Obama Leadership Academy. Or you could have the most classical school in the world called the Renaissance Classical School that starts teaching Latin in the fifth grade and does so all the way up through the high school. So the only thing that school choice does is give you an opportunity to do something that's different from what the regular school district is doing. So in addition to a favorable laws, there have to be people, citizens, founders, parents who stand up and say, we want this kind of school for our community because it actually produces the best kind of education, and then they have to go through the hard work of founding a school. And there are parents, there are citizens around the country who are doing that sort of thing, and that movement is growing as well.
Yeah, because I mean, I went to a couple of the events, and they just had recently a little assembly over the mathematics, and it's, you know, they were doing the breakdown of the different numbers to come up with the answers and all this thing, and, you know, so it looked like they were really pushing the math side of Common Core, which frightened me after I started figuring out that this is a real problem.
Yeah, I was looking over some of the papers, I know, some of his math papers, and they don't even, if they get the problem wrong, they just, like, skip over it. They don't tell the kid, you know, that you've done it improperly or what the proper answer is. As long as you're close, you know, that I guess that counts.
Right. What they're doing to math is just appalling. It's an abomination, and it's been tried before, and everywhere it's been tried, it's failed. So this is the thing that probably most parents are noticing because it's so unlike anything that they've done or that has any common sense in it.
Hmm. Yeah, their big sell after they did the presentation was they've been doing this in Red China for years.
Yeah, that's what we want here.
It's like, okay, that makes me feel better. Yeah, they're a totalitarian society that controls every aspect of their citizens' lives, and I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. We're going to have to go to another school or pull them out.
Right. I was going to ask, with the charter schools, if you, like, we're talking with my brother's grandson. If you disagree with what's going on at the school, can the parents get together and challenge the charter school in changing their studies or their books or how they present it to the children?
Well, see, here's the fundamental thing about charter schools that you have to understand. Whereas in a district, regular district school, there's the illusion of parental control where you can go and you can talk to your principal and you can talk to your superintendent. And that usually means getting ignored in 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. So they will tell you that there's a lot of things that parents can do. The thing you usually can't do is just take your children to another school unless you want to pay for a private school. With a charter school, there is no natural constituency. No one is required to go to a charter school. So you send your children there because you embrace that particular mission and philosophy of the school. If you don't like what's going on with your child, of course you can go to the principal and you can go to the board if you choose. And they're usually far more receptive than a regular public school. Nonetheless, they have a particular mission that they're following. So if you don't like what you see, then you pull your child out. And what that means is if you have a really great charter school that's doing well and all the right things, you may have, you know, 10 frustrated parents who don't like what they have and they leave, but you have a waiting list of 1,000. Whereas if it's a failing charter school that's clearly doing things the wrong way and not teaching children how to read and think, that charter school will end up just not meeting its budget and it will go under.
Wow.
Which is a good thing because that shows that a failed experiment in education needs to fail.
Well, what if I decided that I wanted to go to the principal at charter school? Is there some place that I can give, you know, show him examples of my concern? That where can I pull some examples and say, here, this is all a part of Common Core, and I have some very high tentative thoughts about these examples, and say, listen, you know, I've got concerns about this. You know, why is this in the? Are you teaching this? And show them that. Is there any place I can go to get the examples of the problems?
Well, yeah, if you have a child in the school, then you just go to the work that he's doing.
Okay. So we're monitoring everything that comes home, but how do we monitor what's in the class on the computers?
What the classroom setting, how could we monitor the actual classroom setting, what they're doing in the classroom with the children?
Just go to class, I guess.
Well, you could ask if you could visit. in the charter school that I ran, and this is how you see the difference among the charter schools, we always had 2 seats at the back of the classroom, and any time a parent wanted to visit, you know, provided the parent wasn't harassing the teacher or something, which almost never happened, any time a parent wanted to visit, all she had to do was sign in at the front desk and go and sit at the back of the class. We had nothing to hide. In fact, we wanted the parents to see what was going on in the school. So if you have a school, whether a charter school or a district school, that you can't get into and you can't see a day in the life of your child, something's wrong. And you know, the district schools are notoriously bad about this, and I have tried to visit schools, and it's almost impossible to get in. In fact, I think it'd be easier to get into a school in North Korea than it is in most American public schools.
Wow. We got somebody in the chat room. Liz says, put a camera on your kid.
Yeah, I don't know that you need a camera, but you should be able to visit your child's class. Seems sensible to me.
Well, I think we'll have to do that.
Well, I think they did it, but something about, like, you got to make an appointment or something. It's like, really?
Yeah, so we'll have to look into that because, you know, and then for me, I'm a tax consultant and I've been buried for months. I'm going to be coming up for air here in a couple days.
Well, I know that I wanted to know what kind of books and stuff they were introducing in that charter school, and they told me that they weren't available.
Yeah, they seemed that they were pretty tentative about giving us any information, like, you know, like we were kind of the problem. And I mean, that's sort of put my spidey sense on it and to start with, because gosh, you know, if you don't want to tell. So they, and you know, we mentioned about the books, and they said, oh, it's the same stuff as last year. We mentioned a few things. Oh, yeah. We haven't changed the curriculum. So, which makes me think that they are changing the curriculum to and teaching them this stuff that we don't want them taught.
Precisely.
Okay,
well, keep fighting the fight.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. We'd love to have you back in the future and go over this, maybe when you get some more time and hit some more of the information to get out there what parents can do for their children.
And people should be looking to get your book, too. I noticed you have a book here. It's The Story Killers. Or we talked about it from the beginning. The Story Killers, A Common Sense Case Against Common Core. Where would they go to get that?
Amazon.
Amazon.com, then. Very good. And that would give them a lot of information that we've talked about today, I'm assuming?
Absolutely.
Very good.
All right. Well, thank you again, Terrence, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Okay. My pleasure.
All right. You have a great day.
Have a great day. All right, so I guess we're going to go to a break now.
Okay, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.